and welcome back for the final time to the AFL Footy Fill-Up. It's very sad, but very fun. It's time we've got ahead of us. It's Jacob, Jay, as always, and for the final time. Jacob Wilson, I can see you tearing up already. Welcome back for the last time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to make it through the show without sobbing, crying, tears just everywhere. This is a sad, sad day that the show comes to an end. But it's been a good run. We've had, 3 years of this show. I think I've been with Ben Easy as well for 5 years, with Dicko and a few other shows. So as much as this is the end, hopefully we can get a bit of feedback from the fans. The more feedback we have, the better chance we have of finding a way to continue this in some format next year. But big thanks to Jay, to Dicko, to yourself, Kramer, to Joel, and to Dave, our editor as well, Joel, the producer. Everyone who's worked on this show, it's been a great run, and hopefully this final show we can pick some winners and make the punters one last big wallet full of money.
Yeah, we will see if we can go out on a high. Now, that was very somber, but Jay, can you lift the mood a little bit with a bit of excitement?
Have you ever seen a more somber and sad sack intro to a running show I've ever seen? Oh, my God, Jacob, liven up, mate. It's fine. We've had a lot of fun. Now,
not okay.
Gee whiz. Everyone's got watching this, got their Kleenex out. Hey, I'm not sure if you're aware what happened in Kobe Bryant's last game of basketball. Pretty sure he scored an absolute shed load of points, if not 60. It was around about that mark. Now, I'm taking that sort of mindset today. I'm going out with a bang. Not sure if you remember Damian Martin's last innings for Australia. I'm pretty sure he tried to cover drive it for six on about his fourth ball and got caught behind or something like that. So that explains my mindset to the last go. I still can't believe, I'm not sure who's angrier about Melbourne's loss to Sydney, Simon Goodwin or myself. It was a disgusting performance from the D's. Cost them a finals burst and Burton cost me the $10 I had on them as well. So that was disappointing from the Demon Army. I've had a lot of the Demons, had a lot of faith in them over the journey. But it is really time to swing for the fence in our last show, boys.
Just touching on that Kobe Bryant game, though, I think he put up 60 points, but I think he might have also broke the NBA record for the most misses in an NBA game as well. So you just got to take the shots, don't you?
What did the scoreboard say, mate? So Kobe Bryant, 60 points or whatever.
Nobody remembers the ones you missed.
Hey, you think of Kobe Bryant's finale, you just think, oh, what a performance, what a finale, what a man, and he was an absolute legend of basketball, and that's the sort of mindset I've got.
He did go out with 60 in the final game, and I think his penultimate game, the second last, he might have had less than 10 points, and that's the way you guys went last week on the punt. You barely fired a shot. So, we'll see if we can lift it this week for one last time for our many, many fans. We will get stuck into it. I don't know what round this is. I know there's a couple of games that they're still in lieu of the last round, but we'll get stuck into North Melbourne and Port Adelaide. It's the first game of the new round. And Power, very, very solid favourites. $1.09. 32.5-point line, Jacob. That is very long. Can the Power solidify their top spot with a win against the Roos?
Yeah, I think they will. The wheels are falling off for the Roos at the moment. So I'm just going to be chasing player props here for North Melbourne. It's a good time to bet on player props for a team that is struggling because there is a bit more money to be made. Jai Simpkin is the one I'm targeting here. 25-plus disposals. You can get about $3 for that, which I thought was really surprising. You look at that first batch of games this year. He was averaging 24 disposals from the first seven rounds, 84% game time. Then all of a sudden he had that injury in round seven. His game time's dropped since that point. His disposal average is down to 18. He just needed the rest. He just needed a little bit more time to get that ankle going. And I think with that rest, with three or four games remaining in the season after the bye, I think you'll see a lot better performance out of Jai Simpkin. To be able to get him at $3 for that 25-plus is where I'll be putting my money in this game.
And, Jay, you've avoiding that big line and steering with the player props, or how are you taking this one?
Yeah, I'm going to have a bit of both. I'm going to take Port Adelaide at the line, minus 33. North Melbourne are absolute garbage and are already looking forward to the end of the season, whereas Port Adelaide have got a premiership to win. So I like Port Adelaide at the line into Robbie Gray, 2-plus goals. He has been deadly inside the forward 50 of late. I think he's been averaging 1.6 goals a game. So I think he'll want to get busy, but not necessarily in the midfield. I don't think they want him doing the heavy lifting as such ahead of finals. So I think they'll be cautious with his forward split. I think he'll get a good opportunity inside the forward half, and I'm going to take him for 2+ goals. It's a Port Adelaide big win over North Melbourne, and that should get you $4 or $5 in a multi-bet.
Great way to start the round. Now, speaking of garbage, the Hawks, they lost to the Crows last week. And that was very, very ugly. And now they face the St Kilda side who will be looking to bounce back. Jacob, can you see any light for the Hawks? And let's just say that you said that Adelaide were, you know, the worst side of all time. You listed everything that was wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And they came out and had a win. So the Hawks, I guess they are just as bad or even worse.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where you, I don't have to apologise to the Crows because they were the worst team in all those things. They were facts. That's why it's good with dealing in numbers, because everything I said was 100% true. But the Hawks, they looked slow. They looked old. They looked everything that you worried they might. And a good number for the Hawks this year. They've given up 52 goals to key forwards this year, which is 5 more than 8 out of 10. That's 5 more than the Crows, and we know how bad the Crows have been. So they're really struggling defending the tall forwards. Max King is getting a lot of ball directed through him. He really struggled against the Demons, but he's getting so much opportunity. In fact, over the last 7 weeks, his targets inside 50 have gone up from 5 in the first half of the year to 8 per game. He's the 7th most used target in that stretch, but he's only kicking a goal from 6% of those entries. So he just needs to get a bit more efficient. But all the supply is there. He's got a great matchup this week against the Hawks. So they're going to take him to kick 2 goals into a Saints win, and you get that $2.75.
Max King is one player who's also kicked 3 first goals this year, one of only 4 other players. So, you know, just there's a couple of snags and stats for you. But, yeah, lucky you're not apologising, Jacob. If you apologise every time you got something wrong, this show would be going for 2 hours. So, Jay, this game, Hawthorn St Kilda, who are you taking?
Yeah, I got a couple of legs here. And just on that social media feedback, I guess over the past 2 weeks, the social media feedback has been incredibly kind on YouTube, on Instagram, Twitter, been, you know, lots of comments. Stephen Smith, better the year, Dangerfield that Jacob had, 25+. It's been very kind. However, I did get one this week, and it's sort of less kind, much less favourable, must be said. It did mention, you know, my little sharp move that I did incorporated that into the very strong criticism. And I didn't mind it. Just got to keep my feet on the ground. So that was a nice little
the old gummy shark last week.
Yeah, didn't love the shark. So that was a nice little change up. But that's okay. Look, I like a couple of things here. We don't talk before this show, Jacob, to make sure we're very independent. But I have got Max King for 2+ goals at $2 as well. I also like Brad Hill up against his old mob. He has not hit the scoreboard, reckon, as much as St Kilda would have liked. He's $2.40 for any time goal kicker. I got that circled. And St Kilda, a 40-point-plus win, is $3.75. I reckon that is every chance as well. Will Hawthorn take the chance bringing Jago Mira back in? I doubt it. I think there's a big focus on the kids. Stratton and Frawley, as you mentioned, Jacob, aren't having a great time of it down in that back end. So it's going to be really interesting with selection. I think St Kilda, still an outside chance or still a chance to make finals, clearly. Percentage is important. I just wonder whether they can notch a really big 40-plusser. So I like King for 2 goals. I like Brad Hill to snag one as well. And I like a big win for the Saints at $3.75.
Jay saying that that he doesn't talk to Jacob outside the show, really just adding fuel to that Jacob's not that great of a bloke outside of this, and we only talk to him because we have to. But we will push on, Jacob, while you've got time with us and while you get to talk to your friends. Geelong and Essendon, the country footy festival, whatever it is, it might fall short this year in terms of when they're in a hub and they can't do the little farmer's market and everything. But the Cats and the Bombers, Cats 18.5-point favourites. Jay Clark, who wins this one?
I think the Cats, and I like that line at 18 points. Geelong looked to me to be the premiership favourite. I think we sort of said it about 6 weeks ago, Jacob. They're about $15 for the flag, and that's been a nice little nest egg. And Essendon, I just don't have a lot of trust in them at the moment. I don't think they're going to be making finals. So I think that 18-point line is skinny. So I'll be taking the Cats straight up to clear that line.
Jacob, do the Cats solidify their top 4 spot with a win?
Yeah, I think we got on even at $17 for the flag a few weeks ago, Jay. It was great time to get on board. And I think one thing the punters need to realise is percentage is often a better indicator than win-loss. And the team with the best percentage in the league at the moment is Geelong. Clearly, they're 10% clear of the rest of the league. Port Adelaide second. The Bombers as well have a better win-loss than their percentage. Bombers are sitting 13th percentage this year. They're behind teams like Carlton, Gold Coast, GWS. All have better percentages than the Bombers. The Bombers aren't that good. They're losing McGrath out of the midfield as well. That's a huge loss for them. He leads the team for clearances. And he's a really hard-working defensive midfielder as well. So he's, he's second in the among midfielders for intercept positions, behind only Lockie Neal. So he works hard going the other way. Really good with his pressure and his tackling as well. So he's had a really good season in the midfield. A big loss for the Bombers. So I'm going to take the Cats, 18.5. They should clear that easily.
Now, the next game has also got a line that looks somewhat short at 8.5 between the Eagles and the Bulldogs, but it could be due to West Coast. The way they play away from home isn't that great of late. They're looking to solidify their top four hopes as well. Jacob Wilson, can they do it against the Dogs?
Well, the problem for the Dogs is their record against the best teams this year. If you look at what they've done against top seven teams, they're 0-6. They average 51 points against these teams. They're 7-1 against the bottom 11 teams, averaging 75 points. They play that high risk, high attacking brand of football, and it works against teams that are disorganized. But against the teams that are well organized, like the Eagles, they turn it over and they get hurt going back the other way. No one else plays like the Bulldogs. And it's understandable why, because if you play against teams that defend you well, they're not going to let you move the ball, and then they're going to turn it over in dangerous positions and hurt you. So you look at their losses. They lost to Collingwood by 52, Richmond by 41, Brisbane by 24, St Kilda by 39, Port Adelaide by 13, and Geelong by 11. And Geelong, they're up handsomely and got smashed for the final three quarters. They just can't compete against the really good teams. That is what West Coast are this year. They're a really good team. I know all the hub stuff and thing. That's the only reason to get on the Bulldogs, but I'm going to take the Eagles to clear off the line. Could even take Eagles 40-plus in this one as well.
Yeah, I think they're up by 37 points against the Cats, and then they the last few quarters, and that was their last game. So, Jay, which Dogs will we see against West Coast?
Yeah, I'm on the same him sheet as Jacob for this one. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised by the market to start off. Maybe there's been an overreaction to the Shuey hamstring and McGovern. There's still a bit of an injury cloud. So $1.60 head-to-head West Coast. I'm really surprised by that. I'd be taking them head-to-head. I'd be taking them at the line. I don't think they're a team that relies on individually. As Jacob said, they're a very system-based side. The way they intercept and counter-attack. And Brass, I think, is a really underrated defender. So, look, West Coast, you know, with a top four spot up for grabs still, I'll be taking them head-to-head and the line. I think they'll be better for this second hub stint. I think their attitude wasn't amazing. I didn't think they handled the conditions that well in the first half, but they'll benefit from that experience. And on the day, West Coast is as good a side as anyone in the competition. So, yeah, I think this market, I'd be framing West Coast $1.40 rather than $1.60. So I think they'll come right in for this one.
Yeah, knowing that they're going to stay in the hub, it's a night grand final in Brisbane as well. They have to get used to it. Get used to it or lose the season. So, and at the start of the year, I think there was a bit of an attitude, which is, don't worry, we're back in Perth soon enough. Well, you're not going to be back in Perth soon enough. You have to get good in Queensland. You have to get good at night in Queensland. You have to be good at this hub to win the flag.
Yeah, and as a player prop, I mean, if I think you look at Kelly possessions here, whether it's 25-plus or something like that, out, now Shuey out as well. So they are missing some key players. We know Andrew Gaff is an absolute machine and is prolific on the wing. So him and Tim Kelly were the two I'd be targeting in the player props.
Redden as well got a lot of midfield time last week.
A couple of player props there. And as you saw, Jay scratching his back with a pen. I wouldn't be sharing that pen around with too many people. And the next game we've got is the Dockers and the D's. The Dockers, they showed a bit of fight against the Tigers, my Dockers, and the D's are on a very quick turnaround. Jacob, I know you've talked a bit about those short turnarounds. So how will it affect the D's, who looked pretty woeful last night?
It's all about context, Kramer, all about context. Now, the Demons are coming off the four-day break, and I've been big on the four-day breaks. It's 4-13 now for teams coming off that four-day break. But the Dockers are coming off a four-day break and a five-day break, had to come over to Queensland. Now have to go up to Cairns for the Dockers as well. So as much as the Demons are going to be tested, I think the Dockers are equally going to be tested off these two short turnarounds, a lot of travel, a young team. So I'm just going to steer clear of the matrix, because the Demons were so disappointing last week. Who could predict what they're going to do? The two players to watch in this game for me are Nat Fyfe and Michael Walters. Nat Fyfe back pure midfield last week. There's only three games now left in the season the Dockers. I think he's just going to go back into the midfield, just try and get a few big games under his belt. Had 23 disposals, 9 clearances last week. So anything for him on a disposals prop area, I like. And the other one is Walters. He's gone back to almost a pure forward role. He started the mid-forward, went into the midfield. Now he's gone pure forward. He's just in terrible form at the moment. You're not betting on him based on form, just on the pure opportunity. He's playing 90% forward at the moment. He should be kicking 1-2 goals a game. So I like Fife for a lot of disposals, maybe Walters for a few goals.
Did he? Has anyone seen that highlight on the halftime siren of him allegedly saying something to the coach's box? Have you seen that going around?
No.
Google Michael Walters halftime coach's box spray and you'll see some interesting stuff, because it doesn't appear as if he's directed some strong feedback to Justin Longmuir about him playing forward rather than playing in the midfield. So that is very interesting for mine. You wonder whether he's going to get more opportunity up the field this week, particularly to try and reinvigorate. Yeah, it's a young Fremantle midfield. Where they try and get up to get some legs through that midfield, it will be really interesting. I'll be having a look at Walters for possessions, 15 plus, something like that. Fife, as you said. But I think Melbourne win this. Yes, they had an absolute stinker, and we've seen that before, but rarely do they put in two stinkers in a row. So someone will give Glenn Bartlett a call. The president gets on the phone. He, you know, has the big spray again. They fire up, yeah. And this is Melbourne. This is classic Melbourne. This is what they do, and I am all over it. They will not get me this time.
You're the most forgiving man in the AFL, in the media. Just, it doesn't matter what they do to you. Like a cheating partner. Oh, yeah, no, they won't do it again. It's the seventh time, but don't trust. There's their point where the Bulldogs and the Demons, I think, are just on this list for me, where I go, even at their best, you just can't trust them anymore.
I've had a few sort of same game multis this round. And the other one, you know, I'm not sure if it's on a Simpsons episode. You know, the bird with the thing of water down the bottom, and it's like a metronome, and it just like tap, tap, tap.
Why? It's the Y any key.
Yeah, that's like me. Fremantle games, total point score under. So upper comes a Fremantle game, boom, down goes the bird, total point score under. You know, that's where I'll be looking again. They don't even want to score Fremantle. They do the chip, chip, chip across half back. They try and defend with the pill. They kick one goal a quarter, 1.5 goals a quarter. So I'll be going for Melbourne in a low scoring, and I'll be having a close look at Walters for his 15-plus possessions.
It's the only way to make Fremantle matches watchable as well. I don't know if anyone other neutral fans watch a Fremantle game. Unless you've bet on the unders, you're sitting there going, oh, why am I watching this game? Why am I watching this game? Whereas you bet on the unders, you go, this is beautiful, just chip, 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 just possess the footy.
I've been in the lounge room, and my wife, I'll be like real happy with boundary throw-ins and ball-ups. My wife looks at me, she's like, what are you so excited about? Oh, nothing. No, nothing. Good play. Sarong, well done. Good defensive intensity. That sort of stuff.
I will say, though, but when you back a team at the start of the year for the flag, it makes all their games exciting. So if you back a team that you know is going to be tough to watch, like I did with the Dockers, every game they play is exciting. So there's a little tip to anyone who wants a bit more excitement in their footy watching next year. All right, the next game we look at is the Crows, and they did get their first win against the Hawks. But they take on the Giants, who seem to have found their straps. Jacob, can the Crows make it two wins in a row, or will it be back to the defeat board?
Do you remember playing footy, cricket, growing up, and they had the coaches award? Where they just give it out to someone and you go, look, you played well this year, you're not that good, but we'll give you an award for just turning up this year. That's what it was last week for the Adelaide. Good on you, you've rocked up for all 17 rounds. I don't even think they played that well. It was just the fact that they came up against the Hawthorn team that really struggling. I'm going to give big props to Matt Crouch for improving himself as a player over the last 6 weeks. Always just been an accumulator, really good at one thing. His defensive element of his game, he's been one of the top pressure players in the league over this period. His ball use is improving as well. He's turned himself from a below average player in the first half of the year to an above average player. So a bit of props there. Maybe if the coaching staff can keep doing that to a few of the other players, it won't be so bleak in the future. But I'm still on board with the Giants. I think there are still positive signs. There was such a strange game they played against the Blues, but they were on top for the majority of that match. The only question mark I have is I'm not a fan of the four tall forwards. It just doesn't work for me. They had 5 forward 50 tackles in that game. Really struggled with their forward half pressure. I don't know what the long-term methodology of four tall forwards you look at the teams that have won premierships recently, with the exception of West Coast, the Hawthorn, the Richmond, the Bulldogs methods have all been with a lot smaller forward lines. So I think they're going to win this game, win it comfortably, I'd rather see them go back to 3 tall forwards going forward.
When we on this show, obviously, and a big strength, a lot of the comments have been how good our analogies are in terms of how we bring up bets. Jacob's analogies are sort of a little insight into his life, you know, a cheating girlfriend and the token coaches awards sort of thing. Whereas Jay just comes up with, you know, magical ice cream bets and traffic light bets. Whereas Jacob really gives us a nice little insight into, you know, how his mind works. But Jay, let's see what you can do in terms of your analogies for this Adelaide GWS game.
All right.
What? Jay, he's always planned everything. I thought I'll put him on the spot for once.
Yeah, okay. So Adelaide, I feel like, is the old sort of 1970s Datsun, like, which you sort of grandmother owns and has been in the driveway for 3 years. And, like, you try and, as kids, you sort of, let's go into Nana's car and see if we can start it. And you're like, you turn the key over and usually it doesn't start. But every now and then you turn the key and again, and we get an ignition. Now, that's what happened to Adelaide last week. You know, dead in the driveway all year. The kids jump in and have some luck and the engine fires up. But don't worry, that thing will conk out quite shortly. So I think GWS will win.
Beautiful.
Incredible. That's the analogy you're looking for.
It is like the fascination with the GWS game is around Jeremy Cameron now, isn't it? I mean, he has copped a really big spray after his performance against Carlton. He's been down on form. We're all wondering about the contract. Old Peter Riccardi's kicking him out of his backside. So I think that forward structure, as you touched on, Jacob, is absolutely fascinating. Look, I think Jeremy Cameron will bounce back and bounce back strongly in this one. And against an understrength Adelaide defence, I'll be looking at whether Cameron can get a bit of a fill-up in this one. So I think he bounces back. Maybe does he get caught out playing, going too hard up the ground? Maybe does he sort of play a bit closer to goal? It will certainly be a big talking point this week. But I think GWS, I'll be backing them. I haven't seen the line yet, but I'll be backing them at the line.
Can I throw one up to you, Jay, regarding Jeremy Cameron? Obviously, they've got a salary cap squeeze at the Giants. You've got Jeremy Cameron over here asking for money and Zach Williams over here asking for money. If you let Zach Williams go, you know you're probably getting a first-round compensation pick, might be around about pick 12. If you let Jeremy Cameron go to a club, you could probably ask for two firsters. If you're GWS, Jeremy Cameron's worth that sort of player.
He's a free agent. The system is the system.
You can't. So Jeremy Cameron goes as a free agent as well, does he?
Free agent, yep. So it's like Buddy Franklin they got pick 17 Hawthorn. So
I'd rather keep Zach Williams over Jeremy Cameron is my point. I think Zach Williams is a better player. He's a more consistent player. Jeremy Cameron is having a down season. I think Zach Williams is a vastly underrated player. And if you can get him for $200,000-$300,000 cheaper than Jeremy Cameron, I'd be keeping Zach Williams every day of the week.
Interesting opinion, Jacob. The issue with Zach Williams is he probably never been fit enough to play in the midfield. So clearly he does want to play in the midfield. And if he changes clubs, he'll be playing as that line-breaking midfielder. But there might be some frustration that he's still stuck in the back half at GWS, because in that preliminary final against Collingwood, he played midfield and won the game for him. He was outstanding. But is he fit enough? Has he got himself into good enough shape to consistently play in midfield? I think GWS at this point would say no, and that's why he's back there. So it'd be interesting if he does change clubs and plays midfield, how his engine and how his match fitness is on a week-to-week basis, because I don't think the Giants...
I don't think he needs to be a midfielder. He doesn't. He was the number one player that wasn't a midfielder in the league last year. That's a great asset to have. Someone who can not play in the midfield and play as well as Zach Williams is a fantastic asset. So I'd be keeping Zach Williams with everything I have. And whoever gets him, if it's not GWS, will be getting a steal.
Well, I think he's a bit like, you know, when you conquer... I don't know, Legend of Zelda or something like one of those Super Mario when you're a kid and you've kinged it, you've conquered it, and then you sort of want a new challenge. I feel like Williams goes, well, I've done Zelda backline. Where's the midfield? Where's the midfield game? So that's where I think his head's at.
Excellent analogy. That's your best one.
all I know is that I think it was Jay, your employer, the Herald Sun, might have, whether it was last year or a while ago, they put up a Photoshop of Jeremy Cameron in a Cats jumper. And I just sometimes Google that to make me happy. Like, I just look at that and go, you know, and I just like, just stroke the photo of Jeremy Cameron's coming in a Cats. So hopefully we can make that one come true. And I don't care. I couldn't care less about Zach Williams, but Jeremy Cameron, he's on the move, coming to the Cattery. Another player that's potentially on the move in the offseason, or at least there's rumours around it, is Tom Papley. And he gets a chance to play against the Blues this week. Jacob, can they make a pitch to Tom Papley with a big win over the Swans?
If I'm Tom Papley and I have the chance to move the Blues, I'd love to. It's a dream trade for both teams, I think. Carlton need a player like Tom Papley, and Tom Papley, if he could get to the Blues, could actually make him into a good team. So please, Tom Papley, if you're listening, ask for a trade to Carlton. It's good for the AFL, good for yourself. But I think this game is just going to be a shocking game to watch. And this is one where you bet on the unders. Please bet on the unders, because Carlton like to play the game in their forward half. But their big issue is they can't really put it on the scoreboard, which is why they need Tom Papley. They scored one goal from their last 42 entries against the Giants. They need they struggle to score from their entries. Sydney, the complete opposite. Happy to play from game from their back half, clog it up, park the bus, just absolutely put the handbrake on. And let the other team have, you know, 40, 50 entries and only give up six goals as they did against the Demons. So what I think we're going to see in this game is Carlton just putting it into their 50 and Sydney putting it back out again, and Carlton putting it back into the 50 and Sydney are taking it back out again. So I can guarantee you I'm going to be taking the unders. I could be even going for real dramatic unders in this one. So, you know, under 90 points, under 80 points in this one. Instead, turn this into a big win. Because normally when you go to the unders, you just go to the $1.85 mark. But there are, you can go a bit riskier with it, and that's what I'll be doing in this one.
Jay, you're a renowned unders punter. Are you on the same page here?
Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth, Jacob. I'm actually quite proud of you. You know, I'm taking you under my wing. I've taken you under my wing. I've tried to educate you, develop you, groom you, and you're flourishing. Round 16, you're absolutely flourishing. This is a standout unders bet of the round. This has got red flashing lights all over it. I'm going to be cheering boundary throw-ins all day long. So, I mean, Cripps is an interesting watch. I thought he would play sort of more forward time against the Giants. But, yeah, this is where maybe sort of Gibbons, anytime goal scorer, Jack Martin, anytime goal scorer, those sorts of areas, if you can get decent sort of odds. But this is just a straight out unders. Who cares who wins?
I'll tell you something as well with the unders. If Harry Mackay takes a mark inside 50, it's not bad for you. It's not a bad result because there's a 90% chance of going on four from behind. It's a wasted entry. Takes 30 seconds off the clock with a set shot. It's never a good sign for a play when you're betting on the unders and you're happy with them taking a mark inside 50.
Yeah.
All right, so big unders in that one. Now, the last game of this this round is the time-honoured Q clash. It's the Suns and the Lions. Now, Jacob, who gets up in this one? The Lions looking to lock in that top four spot.
Oh, let's just celebrate Queensland footy for a second. Brisbane have never won the minor premiership. Could do that. Gold Coast having their best ever season, should have their highest ever finish. Never been more football in Queensland. We're going to have a grand final in Queensland. The Brownlow being Queensland. Brownlow medalist should be from Queensland. It's a Queensland year, so the Q clash, it's never been a better Q clash than this one. But the problem for the Gold Coast is they did put away the Kangaroos, but let's face it, the Kangaroos have put the Q in the rack at this stage. But they kicked four goals in their previous two matches, and the Lions' defence, I think, will be all over them. The other thing that I'm always nervous about betting against team with poor accuracy, because poor accuracy is a bit fickle. It comes and goes here and there. Like, even if you just look at the Gold Coast accuracy over their last two games, they've kicked at 33% or 34% in their last two games. So to bet on the Suns and say the reason you're betting on them is because Brisbane are accurate. Well, Gold Coast have been equally inaccurate over the last few weeks. So I'm going to go with Brisbane by the line here. It's a long way out. We haven't seen the teams. We need to see Brisbane play tonight before we get a great form line on this game. But I'll be likely taking Brisbane to the line.
Yeah, well, I'm on the power for the minor premiership and the Dockers for the flags. I couldn't give a stuff about Queensland footy. Jay, what's your opinion on this game?
As we know, this is our last show, and we've sort of got the lemon and sauce, which upon review, if you watch this episode, sort of not that hard to realise why. But when they sort of – I think I remember our first show, Angus, and I think it was one of the first things that come out of your mouth, and that is I'm on Fremantle for the premiership. Now, raise my eyebrow. Well, I didn't know you were quite as well at that point, but I sort of, you know, thinking, had some queries. And, and I then I, in hindsight, I mean, I don't want to put it all on you, but maybe that is what's cost us. You know, as a people want us and our respected, credible opinions and our deep dive analysis, and you keep banging on about a Fremantle premiership, confuses our employers. It's fair to say, Angus. So I'm not sure if you have been a double agent this whole time and you're trying to throw off the punters with this Fremantle premiership talk, but. It's been curious.
Jay, you got to see that you guys are the side of the punters, and I'm the company man, the side of the bookie. So I'm saying, guys, pile into the knockers for the flag. Come on, climb aboard. It's a great bet. So that's where you got to see. We've got to play both sides.
Well, we are out of work and available. So if anyone is interested in our show, then hit us up on Twitter. Or I guess Brisbane. Look. Jacob, very excited about a game of Queensland football off the top there. I think Brisbane by the line is the outstanding bet. You wonder whether, though, I mean, you think Lachie Neal is going to be gunning for the Brownlow. Do you have a look at his player possessions? But Hugh Greenwood and Tuk Miller can both be very accountable through the midfield at times. So I'm almost thinking, is it Lachie Neal unders if they're going to apply a bit of a reference point or a run with midfielder there? But look, Brisbane, you'd think at the line will be their bet here. If it's sort of 20, I guess around 20, 22 points or something like that, I'll be on the lines as they build up for a potential flag.
Yeah, it is one with Lachie Neal as well. He's carried a big workload. He's played a lot of midfield minutes, played such high game time as well compared to other midfielders. You compare that to the other superstars of the league, Dangerfield and Martin and Fife and all these guys, Petrarca as well, spend so much more time forward, less time on the field that they should be peaking at this time of the year. The risk for Lachie Neal is that he might be on the decline, which might be one of the reasons that the Lions struggle on the way home, or the fact that he might not secure the Brownlow, as much as I think he's already got it won. He might not poll as well in these last 4 weeks as he had for the first 12.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting count, but at least it might be a little bit exciting rather than Lachie Neal being a runaway winner. Now, before we obviously get to the best bets and the goodbyes, it is the final snag stand, which I know everyone has looked forward to. And Jay, you've actually segued it pretty well because talking about the Dockers and their premiership chances, I'd just like to say pre-season, when I talked about the Dockers, I said the reason they were the best chance is because they had the best spine in the AFL. You go through Hamling, Pierce, Fife, McCarthy, and then Tabata. Now, obviously, a lot of those, you laugh, but most people laughed at me about Tabata. I said he was an incredible forward, and now who's laughing? This guy, all right? Matt Tabata, best forward in the league, going around, not even close, all right? He hasn't had a game where he hasn't kicked a goal. Jacob, I know that stat's right. I looked it up before the show. And I'm going to back Tabata for the final snag stand. It brings everything I like together, which is goals, small sample sizes, and the Dockers for the flag. So it's all coming together. And I hear you saying it, Jacob. I hear you screaming, where's the value? Where's the value? Well, listen to this, all right? Quiet down. Matt Tabata has kicked the Dockers' first goal in 6 out of their last 8 games. So it's an absolute moral to back Tabata for the first Dockers goal. I wouldn't be backing him for first goal overall because usually, you know, they take a while to get into gear. But Tabata, he's always going to kick one, so he's anytime priced about $1.02. Don't back that. Back Tabata for first Fremantle goal, and do it every week. That's one thing as well. When I did the Stengel bet a couple of weeks ago, all right, Stengel's going to like do that every week. So keep backing him. I didn't mean just the first week. So the bets I put out there, do them every week. So they're just piling up. So you got your Stengel first goal, but Tabata first Dockers goal every week. Fellas, talk me out of it.
I will say that was the longest one. Yeah, I think you knew that was your last one. You didn't want to let go. You just didn't want to let go of the baton to the next relay runner because you thought this is the end of my leg. This is the last leg I'll ever get to do. I actually like Tabata. Tabata, for me, is one of the top 5 key forwards in the league this year. Bit much improved player. I've been a critic of the snag stand all year, but that might be your best work.
Yeah, it's I know that it's when you say I went for a while in my last chance. A lot of this show is like, Jacob, you give your spiel on a game and then it cuts back to me and I start talking, try to segue, and then Jay's got something to say. So a lot of it is me getting talked over. So I know that my snag stand is the only time I can talk uninterrupted for a few minutes. So I just want to have the opportunity to voice my opinions for a while. But Jay,
it wasn't personal best.
Yeah. And you not only had one go at it, you sort of jumped in then for a second track.
Maybe it's a single.
That was longer. longer than an Oscars acceptance speech. It's fair to say. Look, a best bet in Ruffy. I like Geelong at the line versus Essendon. There's a couple of standouts, right? There's three that jump off the page to me. Geelong versus Essendon, I think an 18-point line. I think that's too skinny. I think the Cats can skate off to a big win. West Coast, $1.60 over the Western Bulldogs. I think that should be about $1.40. So I like the Eagles in that one. And Carlton, Sydney, unders. They're the standout legs for your multi. And as a Ruffy, I like that St Kilda Hawthorn game. Going to Saints, King 2+ goals. Brad Hill to kick a goal at $2.40. St Kilda, even look at 30+, 40+, really kick the stuffing out of a Hawthorn team, which just wants to get back home to Melbourne. So it'll be interesting to see how many changes they make. The Saints really can have a big feed in that one, I reckon.
Jacob, your best bet and best Ruffy for the last time.
Best bet for me is Geelong at the line. Far better team than Essendon. Essendon have got problems all over the field. Losing McGrath compounds. I think the line should be about 26, 28 points, sitting at 18.5. So take the Cats there. And the best Ruffy is go dramatic on the Carlton-Sydney scoring under. Take it for the under-90s and see what you can get for those odds, because they should be paying really well. So don't just take the unders in that game. Go big. Go for a really big unders in that.
The boys are going very large there. That's because there's no accountability anymore. We're not going to be back and, you know, you can't pot us anymore. So it doesn't matter if none of our bets get up this week. So in saying that, though, it is our final show. And, Jacob, you said a couple of thank yous off the top. I will just quickly touch on a few. Firstly, to producer Joel behind the scenes, very hardworking man. And obviously, with Jay sending his bets through, you know, last second, sometimes never. It's been very hard for him to make run sheets, so that's always tough. So thanks very much, Joel. Diesel, Dave Adderley, the editor, works very hard with, you know, Jay's internet and Jacob's questionable backgrounds most weeks. So he does a very good job to make this show cut together very nicely. And then obviously you two, Jacob, you've given us great insight into numerous stats and numbers. And entertainment-wise, you've still got a ways to go. But, you know, you've been well in terms of information this year. And Jay, of course, you've done very well at deflating my ego as much as possible and keeping me in check all year. So I did say I would let you guys do the send-off. So, Jacob, I'll give you a quick word and then you can throw to Jay. And, Jay, you can give us an incredible send-off to what's been a long few years of a show.
Well, big thank you to you. Who goes first? I think I'll go first. I'm going to give Craig your big thank you. Yeah.
I don't want to tell you how to host a show, Angus, but are you meant to throw to a highlights clip at this stage?
After you guys give a little word, I think we throw the highlights at the end. So we'll do our send-offs and then there'll be a little highlights clip to finish off.
Well, first I'm going to thank Kramer for covering off Dicko's size 10 shoes. Might have been only size 8 foot going in there with Kramer, but he's done a fantastic job and great feedback that I've heard from everyone who listens about how he's done. So thank you to Kramer. And another one is to the fans. I think the fans have what made this show and the feedback we've received over the last 2 weeks has been outstanding. What I'm going to encourage the fans to do is just keep hitting Jay Clark up on Twitter. If you want the show to keep coming back next year, keep digging on his Twitter. I don't have Twitter, so you can't hit me up. Hit Jay up. Keep reminding him, try to get it back for 2021, and we'll see what we can do. But that's the one place to go to give all the best feedback for 2021.
You can, Jacob, you can't find him on Twitter. I think, what have you got, OnlyFans and then a few other things. So you can find him somewhere online, but it just might be a little bit tougher to hit him up.
This wrap-up is longer than a Dennis Lilly run-up, so I'm going to keep this short. Thanks to the punters for sticking with us for a few support over the years. Between a couple of stinky bets and our bad jokes, we do really appreciate the support over the past couple of years. We have tried to have some fun and a bit of levity. So thanks so much for watching, of course. And most of all, make sure you always gamble responsibly.
Yes, or just donate to us because we are unemployed now. So here is the highlights package of some of the best moments over the years. Thank you, fans. Thank you, as always. And we will see you never again on the Footy Filler.
At the best bets from the men that normally do it every week. Jacob Wilson, the nerd, the geek. If you're Googling, guess who comes up first? Jacob Wilson. Guess who's second? Steve Urkel. Welcome, you nerd.
Dicko, great to be back. Like a crisp, juicy green apple. I can't wait to jump into some of this stuff because this is full of gold.
There's nothing worse than being on a 1-39. You go, come on, Port, slow down, Port. Slow down,
out board. And then they blow it out by 50. They get the last 10 goals and won by 57. What a stitch up that was.
Ben, while Jacob sort of sits behind his computer and taps away his numbers.
Nerd, 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 nerd.
I'm out there in the car parks, mate. I'm out there sort of sniffing around for a bit of something.
One of my best dad jokes ever. Jay the Herald Sun. Outstanding. And we missed the high five as well.
Now, if you look at our predictor, the two guys that sit atop of it, Dangerfield's one and Fife's on two. But from my eye and what I've watched this year, I think Fife's the man. He's paying $6. He's on the fifth line of betting at the moment at $6. Dangerfield's in about $2.50. I think the best value bet in the Brownlow this year is going to be Nat Fife.
I bought my little backpack. I reached in, got out some war paint. Brown stuff, a little bit under the eyeball. I'm not sure if you've seen Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Can I take our freedom? More winners!
And then I spoke to you on Anzac Day.
What did we say?
And I said to you, I said, they're dead to me. I said, I can't bet on them again. I can't do it.
Yep.
I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
And here we are, 1 week later.
Right back in Melbourne.
Oh, I like that one.
Going on, just need to back you, blue chip.
I'm in a rich vein of form. There's no doubt about that. I said last week I was going to bring in a potato sack and I'm going to start up the hashtag, fill up the sack. And I think of this man and, you know, you've seen The Hangover, Dicko, haven't you? You know, Alan. You know the scene where all the, like, the algebra sort of comes down in front of his face? So I went over to his house and he's just sitting there sort of in a dark room with all his algebra and he delivers the good bit.
I know that Jay's got all these other shows. He's on Triple M, he's on everything. But Jacob, Jacob, this is all you've got, so I'm sure this is hitting you much harder.
I'm very sad. He's at $26. I heard on the radio today from another betting agent, say which one, but they said he was good value at $26. That is an absolute stitch up from them. Don't trust them at all. If anyone puts a single dollar on Harry Perryman for the Collingwood medal, you're throwing your money into a fountain. It's a waste.
You know, really what the snack stand is about is enjoying watching the footy, which we all want. So don't worry if we don't win. It doesn't matter.
Jacob poo-pooed my Jack Higgins bet off the top of the show. If Higgins doesn't score a goal tonight, I'll wear a funny hat during next week's show.
Oh, what a funny hat that will be. Oh, wow. The stakes have never been higher with this funny hat, man.
Comedic genius, Jake Clark, with the funny hat.
I've never seen a man in more dangerous scoring positions than Jack Higgins the other night.
All I'm asking for is two goals from Josh Bruce, and that'll be a nice payout of over $2.
I think Josh Bruce has got more problems than his accuracy. Genuinely just skills and football ability.
Some of the bets that I backed in were criticised by fellow members of this panel. In particular, the Josh Bruce bet, which was 2+ goals. He came out, I think he kicked 6 in the end. Is there any statements that want to be made from the from Cosmo or from you, Jay, about the criticism of that bet?
What's the saying, Tate? Stealing an apple from a baby or stealing the dummy from the baby? Whatever. I left the baby with nothing. It was sitting in the pram empty-handed. It couldn't find its rattle. It had no clothes on it. So I want it all. So we absolutely scooped the ball on the hawk. But I have got the bet of the year. I'm going to spat on the camera.
Oh, no. Oh, that's worse.
Oh, thanks.